Today's lesson is from the book of Isaiah, 7th chapter. Again, the Lord spoke to Uzzah, saying, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be as deep as Shiloh or hell, or as high as heaven." But Uzzah said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary mortals that you also weary my God? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child, and shall bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel." This is the word of the Lord.
So we're talking about fears. And in chapter 7 of Isaiah, Ahaz and the people of Judah are in the throes of heart-gripping fear. These words, of course, illustrate the fear that has beset them. When the house of David, speaking of Ahaz and of that throne of David, heard that Aram had allied itself with Ephraim, that's the northern kingdom of Israel, the heart of Ahaz and the heart of his people shook as the trees of the forest shake before the wind. Could have that picture. If you've ever been in northern Minnesota, you know something about trees that shake before the wind. If you're out there in the forest and the wind blows through the boughs of the trees, the pine trees, there is this otherworldly, eerie, whispering sound that gathers, that really transports you to another realm. Fear is a way of kind of transporting us, if you will. I mean, it churns our guts. We fear. We can feel it first in our gut. It lays hold of our heart, grips our hearts, and as a result, it paralyzes us. So I wonder, what fears kind of, you know, make your gut churn this day? I looked up, top 10 fears. Everybody fears something, right? Here's just a list, a few of the top 10 fears. Spiders, public speaking. How about snakes? Fear of failure, fear of death, just to name a few. What do you fear? And if you were to stop a moment, ponder. What causes your gut to churn and grips your heart, paralyzes you, if you will? Ahaz and the people of Judah had good reason to fear, to shake like trees before the wind, because of the alliance and the military force of the king of Aram, just the north of the northern kingdom and Judah, and the king of Israel, Pekah, were gathering and planning to overthrow Judah, march on Jerusalem, overthrow Judah, and dispose King Ahaz. These two kings had formed an alliance because to the farther north, Assyria was a gathering powerful military force. So the king of Aram and the king of the northern kingdom of Israel kind of formed an alliance, and they invited Ahaz and Judah to join in, but they refused. And so, because of that refusal, Ahaz had secretly joined forces, unbeknownst to them, with the Assyrians and made a pact for protection. And so Ahaz's refusal resulted in these two forces, again, the king of Aram and the king of Israel, conspiring then to march on Jerusalem, dispose Ahaz, and put on the throne one favorable to their alliance. I'm sure, of course, if you're a disposed, you know, ruler, king, etc., your head will roll. They all had good reason to fear. So again, what causes your gut to churn, shake like trees before the wind? Perhaps it's a scan and there's a spot on the scan. It's causing you to shake. Perhaps it's the deterioration of a long-term relationship, much investment, the fear of breakup. Maybe it's the darkness of depression that you can't seem to shake. Maybe it's your kids and the world that they will live into in the future that causes you to shake. We often find ourselves, fears and forces, if you will, too formidable, too strong for us, causing the fear, causing the gut-wrenching, causing the paralysis, if you will. So God knew, Israel, again, Northern Kingdom, Judah, the apple of God's eye. God knew King Ahaz and Judah's fear, and so he called the prophet Isaiah to speak his words of promise, to protect you, to give you signs to assure you of your deliverance. And so in verse 3 of chapter 7, then the Lord said to Isaiah, go out to meet Ahaz, you and your son, Shear Jessup, reading from verse 3, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool on the highway to the fuller's field. I love how scriptures detail. Well, the deal was, King Ahaz was looking at the city's water supply in anticipation of this onslaught. And of course, if you're going to have a lengthy onslaught, you need water to survive. So he's checking out the water. And Isaiah comes upon him. And then in verse 4, we are told that Ahaz and the people are through again the prophet Isaiah. Take heed, be quiet, do not fear, do not let your hearts be faint, God says to Ahaz, because the two kings who have formed this alliance are nothing more than smoldering stubs of firewood, hot, but with no real power to lay siege to defeat. But yet he only saw this alliance, this gathering force. But God said to him in regard to the alliance and the plans to march on them, God said, it shall not stand. It shall not come to pass. So we're hearing in the midst of this fear, the spoken word of God through the prophet proclaimed. And not only does the prophet proclaim a word, but then he gives signs. And signs were always meant to kind of, give a spark of faith. Oh, wow, look, there's a sign. God is at work to encourage, to call forth faith. And so the sign also then, a tangible sign, was Isaiah's son. His name is literally translated, a remnant. A remnant shall return. God promised, again, to preserve Judah in the face of this gathering threat. And really the crux of this text is the fact that God sent the prophet Isaiah in the midst of Judah and Ahaz's fear to say, hey, I will protect you. I will deliver you. Trust in me alone. Trust in me alone. Much was at stake. Much was at stake. And the challenge then after these promises, after this first sign is put succinctly in the latter part of verse 9. And it's this. This is cut into the quick. Ahaz, if you do not stand firm in faith, you shall not stand at all. If you do not stand firm in faith, you shall not stand at all. Whoa. Of course, it meant, as it played out, if you trust me, I will deliver and protect you, protect the land. If you do not trust me, you will be judged, you will be destroyed, and the land will become a wasteland. The words apply to you and me today. Apply to you and me. We all have our fears. You feel it in your gut. God promises, as his beloved, to protect, to provide, to deliver. We know the promises. And yet, it's so difficult to stand firm in faith. To stand in faith on the promises of God. Ahaz knew the covenant promise regarding the throne of David. In Kings, we read that there shall never fail you a successor before me to sit on the throne. That was God's covenant promise with the house of David. And of course, Ahaz, being a son of David, of course, he's a recipient of this promise that his kingship would be preserved. But he failed to trust God, to take God at God's word. And if you think about it, I mentioned how Ahaz did an end around these other two kings and secretly approached to the north the king of Syria. And we read these words then in 2 Kings 16, verse 7. Ahaz sent, messengers. The king, would someone pronounce that for me, please? Of Assyria, saying, listen to this, I am your servant and your son. Come up and rescue me from the hand of the king of Aram and from the hand of the king of Israel who are attacking me. He's just transferring his trust and sonship to another that's really not a god at all. When he was really a son of David, a son of God, you know, in other words, and in line for that promise to be fulfilled that there will always be one on the throne. And yet he does an end around. Makes a pact with a Syrian king who ultimately then turns on him. And he experiences that judgment. Because in time, the king of Assyria took the land of Judah for spoils. I'm reminded of that eagle song, "You Can't Hide Your Lion Eyes." Every form of refuge has its price besides God. Every form of refuge has its price. And swirling fear, gut-churning fear, we so often fail to seek the very heart of God and his word for us in the midst of that fear and trust him. And so we act independently, don't we? We often do that. We form our alliances, if you will. Trust our own means to save and deliver us. We fear being alone. And so, for example, we enter into unhealthy relationships. We fear, you know, provision. And so we make our job, our finances, our God, only to, in a sense, have it turn on us, grip our heart. And when we're downsized, we're consumed with fear. You know, I'm discovering, duh, God is a jealous God. He won't allow us to live in fear. He won't allow us trusting in anything but him. It's not because he's jealous like we understand jealousy. But he wants us to put our trust in him, the only one who ultimately can be God for us. Trust in God. The word of God, we are told, heaven and earth will pass away, but the word will not pass away. That God is faithful. Sadly, as mentioned, Ahaz didn't trust the promises of God. He didn't heed that prophetic warning. God gave him the sign of the sun, a remnant shall return. The prophet, boldly before the king, commands him again to ask for a sign. God is not done yet. But he refuses because at the end of the day, he'd rather walk by sight rather than faith, trusting in the sovereign God. And so he, false piety, no, I'm not going to ask for a sign. But God is always at work to save, to seek and to save. And so in spite of Ahaz's refusal to ask for a sign, the prophet gave a second sign. And we read of that in 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel. This child born in their midst then was a sign of the very presence of God. The presence of God is God is seeking to protect and to deliver. God promised, as mentioned, a remnant would return, and this child, Emmanuel, when he comes of age, shall lead that remnant. But you and I know, of course, God operates sovereignly on many levels. God was seeking and saving then, seeking and saving now, and of course, we hear the fulfillment of God's promise here. Some 700 years later, the fulfillment of God's promise of the Messiah, the Savior, who delivers us from bondage to sin and death. The prophetic words were fulfilled finally in the person of Jesus. And so, Matthew, all this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. They shall call him Emmanuel, which is God with us. God with us, Emmanuel. God is present in whatever your fear. God is present, Emmanuel. Think of it. The very love of God, the very presence of God wrapped in human flesh, a beating heart. It is the perfect love of Jesus that casts out all fear. God so loved the world. God so loved you and me. So in a sense, God is saying the same thing in light of these promises, in light of the presence of God. Take heed. Be quiet. Do not fear. Do not your hearts be faint. Emmanuel. Emmanuel, Jesus ushers the reign and rule of God. The reign and rule of God in terms of the kingdom. And when we're talking about the reign and rule of God, we're talking about the reign and rule of the love of Jesus. How he continues to pursue us in love, how he continues to grant us mercy, continues to grant us grace, loves us so much he pursues us in love and sometimes experiences judgment that we might turn and turn to him and him alone. The kingdom of God is among us. As God's beloved, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is given to us to convict us, to guide us, and to empower us in faithful Christian living, one step at a time. One of you came to me several weeks ago and talked about a kind of a convergence of things that has caused your heart to quake, gripped your heart, you know, caused your gut to churn. Person told me they're walking in faith, they're seeking the counsel and support of others, brothers and sisters in faith. This person has shared with me over this course of time how the journey there has been beset by fear and at times little relief. This past week, this person checked in again and chatted and said, in spite of the fears, they sense God is at work. The presence of God, in spite of the challenges, still present. Some hope God has given them of a new day. This person's walking and trusting in God in spite of the pain, not taking matters into their own hands. One of you on a lighter note, talking about trusting God and the protection and provision of God, this purchased a Target gift card for $50 for one of the family members. And, you know, in this swirl of Christmas, the gift card was misplaced. Bit of a challenging time because the paychecks coming this month aren't quite as fat as they would like. And I often don't pray for lost things. Do you guys ever pray for lost things? But we prayed. What the heck, you know? And I got a text a little later saying, you know, we were pulling down our kind of rack where we place our cards that we receive. And there were two unopened envelopes. And so we opened those unopened envelopes from the prior year, opened them this Christmas. And wouldn't you know, there was a $50 gift card in one of them. And this is what the person wrote in a text. Our God is a great God indeed. And nobody can tell me prayers don't get answered. I shouldn't be amazed when these things happen. But I do. He shows me every single day that he is with us always and always provides. Emmanuel, God with us. One who's acquainted with all our challenges. He himself challenged the point of sweating drops of blood. The kingdom is among us. God is at work. Maybe not as forcefully sometimes. Maybe not as overtly way we would like. But God is at work. Present as he pursues us, seeks to protect and deliver us. My friends, take heed during this rest of this Advent season. Be quiet, pray, hear the word. If you do, some of those fears will subside, and you will see that Emmanuel, God with us, truly is. Amen.